movies on up. Life is not a malfunction. That is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie Life is Not a Malfunction comes from, send it off to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet your answer directly at us, at moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you get it correct, and if we choose you, you can't be the first winner of 2014, but you can be the next if you can correctly identify what movie Life is Not a Malfunction comes from. Not a malfunction, sitting directly across from me, my perfectly functioning co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
Hello, Ryan.
Dave's pretending, play acting.
Voice.
Yes, that was his robot voice. The reason he chose to employ that particular voice is because this week, in honor of Her, and more specifically, Scarlett Johansson from Her, we are going to run down our top five favorite robot characters from movies. Robot is probably kind of a racist word. We're not just talking robots. We've got androids. We've got cyborgs.
Here's where it started. It started like, oh, Scarlett Johansson did an awesome job with just her voice. So, hey, how about robots? And I think the initial thought was like, oh, robots that are just voiced by an actor and not really on screen. But
no, that was never my thought.
That was my thought, but then I couldn't do that. So
I got
my number one, and then that was it.
I just like a lot of robot characters. This is one of the easiest lists for me to come up with. Usually I don't have also-rans. I got some also-rans this week.
I have a couple that I left off. The three also-rans I have, I left off because I thought might be on yours.
One of my also-rans I left off because I thought it might be on yours. Turns out it's not on either of ours. So we chose to use it for the tagline.
Sorry, Johnny Five.
Well, spoiler alert. Whatever.
That's a hint.
That's a giant hint. I was just going to leave it to, if you listen to the end of our podcast.
Second hint, brown face.
Third hint, Fisher Stevens. That's pretty much it. If you can figure out what that movie is, send it off to us, moviesonup@gmail.com, and you can win our second prize package of the year, which is going to contain, I'm not even sure what, because the first one we jammed full.
It was huge.
It was.
It should be landing in the mail in the next 2 to 4 business months.
It gets longer every time. Well, yeah, because it has to be delivered from the back of a C-130. It's a big cargo plane.
Mm-hmm. An Amazon drone.
Which is a robot. I don't have any Amazon drones on my list. But Dave, do you?
My number five favorite movie starring a robot is an awesome acting performance from a robot. 1973, Yul Brynner as the gunslinger in Westworld. Bunch of robots in this movie. None like him. None as terrifying as him. It's an awesome movie. You know, I don't go into the 70s a whole lot for my lists, but
Or Westerns.
I think I mentioned this in our Western episode, though. This is one of those that I wouldn't be opposed to a remake of, because I think it's an awesome idea. I think it would work even better now.
And it's very dated.
It's very dated, and it's a cool. The story isn't. The story's very cool. The story could be.
It would make more sense now.
Yeah, you don't even have to update the story. You just update the movie. So I would love it. I think it's an awesome story. Yul Brynner was really good in this movie as the terrifying gunslinger. Just a cool idea for a whole premise. I think if you were to reboot it and remake it, I think there'd be a lot more to it than the gunslinger. I think there'd be a lot more to be afraid of. But
yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I don't want to call Yul Brynner's performance your prototypical Western bad guy, but there were a lot of elements to that. I mean, the black hat, not really a man or robot of many words at all, but, you know, very terrifying, very difficult to stop. And when you do, they just repair them and send them back. But yeah, I think Westworld is, especially now, because you could actually see, you know, within the next couple years, go on a vacation where it's populated entirely by robots.
And you know what connection I never even made? In my head, like when I was making this list, I was thinking about remakes, and like, in I think dream casting for Gunslinger would be Josh Brolin. Not even considering, oh, his dad was in the original.
Yeah.
Like, it just completely slipped my mind.
Full circle.
Yeah. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
It would be pretty rad. My number five is an older movie as well. It is from 1968. Talk about bad robots, the Gunslinger in Westworld. Mine's a bad robot, and probably a bit more obvious than that, a bit more on the nose. It's HAL 9000 from 2001, A Space Odyssey. This is the only bad guy robot on my list, spoiler alert, but a pretty iconic one at that. Douglas Rain is the guy that voices Hal, and talked about Scarlett Johansson never appearing on screen. You have Dougie Rain's smooth, monotone delivery, I think really helped give a pretty nasty personality to what was Hal was the ship's computer, but also kind of the sixth team member on this voyage. I think for as much of a computer as he was very arrogant, which is kind of a typical human behavior. Didn't want to listen to anybody when things went bad. And I think you have kind of an interesting journey from robots. Like in the 50s, you know, robots were kind of things of wonder. They're going to be a great help to mankind. I can't wait to get robots. And then you start seeing a shift to where robots are going to kill us all. And it seemed like 68 might have been a little early for that shift, but very much in Space Odyssey, you know, Hal is the bad guy, and its technology, you know, our ever-increasing reliance on it, and it goes bad and kills us. Not, you know, unlike your number five, Westworld, kind of the same thing. Very dependent on technology for escapism, for fun, and there's no fun to be had in Westworld or Roman World or what was the, do you remember what the other one was?
Medieval? I think it was just Medieval World.
Yeah, I think you're right. But at any rate, killer robots for our number fives.
My number four, not really killer robots. Also, kind of cheated here. Not necessarily robots, they're more aliens. But they were robot aliens when a group of developers hire a gang of local thugs to scare tenants out of moving out of a building, and then you have alien robots save the day in 1987's Batteries Not Included. This one was fun. This one took me back. I remember seeing this movie in the theater. I would have been about 8 at the time. Loved it. Such a fun movie. The story is by Mick Garris, which is shocking. He's known more for
the horror.
Yeah, and then one of the three writers credited on the screenplay, Brad Bird. So making his presence known in 1987. Just a fun movie starring Hugh Cronin and Jessica Tandy. People that live in a not the best building, but they don't want it's home, so they don't want to move. And the developers try to force them out by scaring them. And she leaves her window open one night, and they're visited by alien robots who befriend them and defeat the developers and the gang. It's just a fun movie. It's cute. It's just a feel-good. It's just a fantastic, just fun movie. And this was one of the first ones that popped in my mind, and it just makes me feel good to think about it because I remember how much I love this movie. I haven't seen it in a long time. I kind of want to watch it tonight. Did I ever say it was Batteries Not Included?
You said it was Batteries Not Included. I'm following you on that. My number four, also a very helpful robot from 1956. It's Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet. I think, and maybe it's just because I'm a nerd, but one of the most iconic robots from sort of that, I don't want to call it really Gen 1 movie robots, but it was pretty early on. And the movie poster, lots of guys that were pretty well known at the time were in that movie. And even going forward, Leslie Nielsen was kind of the star, but doesn't appear on the movie poster. Robbie the Robot does. And even if you've never seen Forbidden Planet, I feel like you can kind of picture this robot. He's got the body of the Michelin Man with kind of a clear dome bullet point head and a couple little spinny things on the side, a la Frankenstein or something. Pretty useful little dude. He can conjure booze out of thin air. And I think as good as, you know, Leslie Nielsen was, is this ship Captain Adams, I think that in 1956, had you seen this as a youth, Robbie probably would have been the coolest thing that you'd ever seen in your life. And I can imagine that people that did see this movie in the 50s are probably shocked and pissed that we don't have Robbie the Robots stomping around making bourbon out of thin air for us as we speak. I can't explain why we don't, but movie from 1956, obviously a vision of the future, which we still haven't quite got there yet.
We're supposed to be on hover skateboards and silly hats by next year.
And we were supposed to have already been destroyed by Skynet.
Yeah.
Another bad robot.
Yeah. Which, that's an obvious one that I don't know if you put on.
No.
Yeah. Terminator's an obvious one. Terminator 2 is an obvious one.
Sure.
But we don't do the obvious.
Sometimes. Sometimes we do.
My number three, we've talked about good robots. We've talked about bad robots. So how about a movie with both of them? You get, you know, you have bad robots that kill people, and then you have to create good robots to do battle with those bad robots.
Is this Terminator?
It's an epic robot battle between good and evil. It is 1991's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. You have Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves playing the evil versions of themselves that kill the regular versions of themselves. So they have Station help them create good versions of themselves. When you first mentioned doing a robot episode, this one was really the first one that came to mind. And I didn't even think about the evil versions. I thought about the good ones, just how they still tried to make them dress like them. And just like, it's so funny. I love the robot aspect in this movie. And it's one of my favorite sequels ever as far as quality, comparing it to the first. I love Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And a lot of that is because of the robots, both the evil and the good ones.
My number three, you said that we don't do the obvious. This one is absolutely, I felt, very obvious. One of the first ones that came to my mind from 2008, WALL-E. I will go out on a limb to say that with all due respect to Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez, WALL-E is by far the cutest garbage man in movies. As an adult, I love the character. But I think you ask kids to jump on board to a movie where the main character really doesn't talk except to say his name. That's kind of a tough ask. But sidebar, when he does talk, he's voiced by Ben Burtt, a sound engineer who worked on some space movies that might come up later. Who knows? But I guess that's kind of what makes Pixar Pixar. They're great at coming up with unique stories that appeal to an incredibly broad audience. I mean, this is post-apocalyptic story that revolves around a robot that can't really talk. I mean, Earth has been pretty much wiped out. The human race are just kind of floating around on these space barges. They're real fat, can't do much of anything. But it is a great little adventure movie with a very cute and endearing robot character, WALL-E.
As we get into my top two, that is where I go, where the robot is just voiced. And you get really awesome performances from just a voice. And my number two comes back to 1986. And as happy as I got about Batteries Not Included, this movie I'd kind of forgotten about, but I absolutely adore it. And the awesome performance of the robot was from Paul Reubens, who I absolutely love, in 1986's Flight of the Navigator. A little boy gets sent 8 years in the future because of an alien robot, and then they have an adventure together. Stars Joey Kramer, Cliff DeYoung, and young Sarah Jessica Parker. If I had to watch one tonight, it would be this one, because this one, I don't know how I forgot about it. As much as I love Battery Not Included, it didn't bring me near the amount of joy that Flight of the Navigator did. And again, yeah, I guess technically it's an alien and not a robot, but it's an alien robot, so screw off, people that are complaining about my aliens.
The masses that are just typing angry, people that are just angry letters angry on their typewriters.
Yep. So, but yeah, this one was just a lot of fun. And Paul Reubens was awesome in that role because, yeah, the robot was sarcastic. It was snarky. It was really funny. And the back and forth between the two of them was really good. And just a fun, fun movie.
I do have relatively fond memories of Flight of the Navigator as a child. It's been a long time since I've seen that. I probably would enjoy going back and watching it. Definitely more than Batteries Not Included. I can agree with you there. My number two, this one's kind of rough, because I think, you know, a lot of people would argue with me that in no way, shape, or form does my number two belong on the list. But I will build my case for 1982, Rick Deckard from Blade Runner. Spoiler alert, I guess. We know this much. Harrison Ford's character is tasked with hunting down these replicants, which are, you know, robots, of which, you know, there are plenty that they could make the list on their own. Rutger Hauer, Daryl Hannah, even Sean Young are all really, really good in this movie. But I think it's, you know, it's definitely left up to the viewer to kind of decide if Deckard is a replicant or if he's a human being. And for what it's worth, you can count the director, Ridley Scott, amongst the folks that think that he is a replicant, which is why I feel justified putting him on the list. I think that Ford's character is kind of a perfect noir-style detective, which I love that kind of movie anyway. And the fact that, you know, you can have an argument of whether or not the character is, or, you know, is human or is not, I think just kind of reinforces the entire point of the movie is, you know, what is it to be human? What separates us between, you know, the machines that we create to be ultra realistic? I'm not a giant Blade Runner fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I think for this list, I really like putting Harrison Ford on there.
This one was almost there because you could have put, there's a few people from this movie.
Rutger Hauer, Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, they could have made this list. This one I left off because Blade Runner was cool when I was young. It doesn't really hold up, I don't think.
The umbrellas are pretty awesome to this day.
Yeah, it's hailed as a sci-fi classic, and I just feel it's a little dated. But that's the only, I mean, I still enjoy it, but that's the only reason I left that off the list. Plus, I didn't know if you would have it.
I do.
Yeah, but so that works. My number one, if you've ever heard me talk about movies, you know, you could probably guess it. Like, I'm sure you could have guessed this if I wouldn't have told you last week right away what it would be. It's from 2009. It's Moon, starring Sam Rockwell, who is, throughout the whole movie, the only person on screen, but he's joined by Gertie, voiced by Kevin Spacey. And if you want the perfect voice for a robot, Kevin Spacey is ideal for it. And he actually did bring a lot to it. Like, yeah, a robot voiced by Kevin Spacey and emoticons. But they made it work without being lame. Gertie did do the job that was there, but yet did have compassion and was able to break a few rules at some point. For what Kevin Spacey was there to do, he did it extremely, extremely well, where, yeah, voice acting is still acting. So you put a lesser actor in there and Gertie doesn't come off as strong, but Kevin Spacey was phenomenal for what he did. Not to the level of Scarlett Johansson, where I'm not saying Spacey deserved an Oscar for this performance, but he added a lot to this movie, and this movie should have been up there with anything released in 2009 because it's one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. Just phenomenal movie, and a large part of that is because of how well Kevin Spacey and Sam Rockwell worked together without even being in the same room together.
And I think that's very much kind of in the spirit of why we started thinking of this list, because what Scarlett Johansson was able to do is create a very compelling character that really has nothing to appear on the screen. There's no representation of the character really other than, you know, the voice. There was a little bit of phone things in her, but, you know, you mentioned the emoticons in Moon. That's kind of really the only thing other than like the terminal, I guess, that physical terminal there. That's the only thing that really tied Spacey to that movie, but is a really good movie. I'm not surprised that it is your number one. I'd have been surprised if it was anything other than that, even before you told me. I think the same could really be said of my number one, from one of your favorite movies to one of my favorites. Again, not a big surprise here. Not exactly, you know, going outside the box with a tie. How can you really pick between C-3PO and R2-D2? You can't. Kind of a package deal there. There was a young farm lad that tried to buy one without the other, and that didn't work out so well. Probably my first real exposure to robots in movies. Definitely the first time that I wished I had me a little robot buddy. And I mean, who wouldn't want a little R2-D2 following him around? One of the things that I think, there are a lot of things that I think that Star Wars does well, but one of the things that I appreciate about it the most is you have, not so much with C-3PO, but if you take the character of R2-D2 and even like Chewbacca, they don't speak English. The only things you hear from the characters are really translated through someone else. But I they're very compelling characters, and I think they're two of the most loved characters. And when you can, you know, get that across with essentially what amounts to beeps, boops, whistles, and animal-ish sounds, I think that's pretty rad. You get a lot from the nonverbals with those two characters, and the fact that you have these two characters really appear in all six movies, I mean, by the time, you know, you kind of meet both of them in Phantom Menace, those are kind of the best parts of that movie. It kind of sucks, but you love those characters, and it was good to see him come back. I'm really excited about seeing Anthony Daniels come back for Episode 7. Love to see R2-D2 come back. I don't care so much what they do with the rest of it, but give me some more of those fun-loving droids.
I agree that they're fantastic. I disagree about everything else. I didn't want them in the prequels. I don't want them in the sequels. I feel like they did exactly what they were supposed to do in the three they were in.
Get out.
And they should stay that way. That's just how I feel. That's my Star Wars opinion.
Your opinion can be wrong. I mean, did they need to be in the prequels? Not really.
It came off as fan service to me. Not really. Came off as 100% fan service to me.
Sure. But, I mean, let's be honest. Kind of the light humor that was in the original trilogy was C-3PO. Yeah. You have that, or you can either have him or Jar Jar. Who do you want?
Well, no, neither. Yeah. I mean, that's why I would trust Abrams to be able to provide that without resorting to fan service for the next
You can't series. Not have him in these, though.
I
it's just impossible.
Can.
You can't.
I think you can. They should remake the prequels without Lucas involved. A couple also-rans I had. I left off Spaceballs because I thought you would have it.
I thought about it, but
Joan Rivers.
Dot Matrix.
I didn't know if you would have her because you have C-3PO and R2-D2, but she was funny in that for what she was doing. Short Circuit was an obvious one. That
Johnny Five.
We both left off.
Sort of.
Alien and Aliens with Ash and Bishop, and then if you want to go into Winona Ryder later, which I don't.
Oh, God.
But those were really...
Or the subsequent Bishops.
Yeah. Those were really cool, especially Ash. Like, he was kind of a prick, so.
Prometheus, no Mikey Fassbender? David?
I forgot about Prometheus, actually. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole, like, Alien franchise, I left off.
I guess that ties in, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because Michael Fassbender as in Prometheus was awesome.
Yeah.
And then, when I think robots in movies, I couldn't put these on the list because the robots weren't really... They were characters, but they weren't. There was no actor attached to them for anyway. Is the eye scanning robots in Minority Report, and then the poison spider spitting robots in 1984's Runaway. Like when I think robots in movies, those are kind of the first two I go to because they're cool robots, but there's no human aspect to them.
Yeah.
So I couldn't put either of those on the list, but when you're talking robots, that's kind of what I thought of.
You mentioned Moon. I think a similar...
I didn't mention it. It was my number one.
Yeah, okay. Well, it was on your list that you may have talked about. I think Solaris is another movie that you could probably put in there. I think it's very close in the spirit of Moon and not real far from 2001 either. But I think sci-fi... I mean, I like sci-fi movies a lot. They do tend to lend themselves to robots. I guess, like, the 8-year-old in me is like, no Optimus Prime? Which... A robot.
And I mean, it's hard to talk. Like,
but I don't mean the Shia LaBeouf Transformer movie.
I love Paul Bettany, and I think his performance in the Iron Man movies as Jarvis is awesome, but not enough to where it's... I feel like it's hard to talk about awesome like voice performances without mentioning him. So, I mean, not that it would be in my top five or even one of my also-rans, but Paul Bettany does an awesome job. Like, some of the best moments in those Iron Man movies were conversations with Jarvis, and for Paul Bettany to jump in. And yeah, I mean, it's a nice little paycheck for him to be just this minimal work, which is cool. But he adds a lot just with that. But, I mean, it says a lot about an actor when you can pull that off. And I think that's why I was so impressed with
Scarlett.
With Scarlett. And because I was
we're on a first name basis.
Yeah, and I was just reading, this is unrelated, but I was reading Bill Murray did a Ask Me Anything on Reddit, and he went and talked about Garfield and how challenging it was to film Garfield because they had filmed everything, and he showed up and hadn't really read the script, and then he's supposed to be doing his dialogue, but it's like, wait, would they really say this? Like, would that... So he's trying to, like, fix his lines as he goes, but yet writing himself into a corner because the reactions are already...
They're already in the can.
He's not playing off of anything. So he's... That happened. I mean, that when Scarlett Johansson, everything was done with her. She was the last one to work. So her and Joaquin getting it on, they didn't actually get it on. Like, she had to do that pretty much in a room by herself and everything. There was no feeding off of anybody.
And I guess the same can be said even for Joaquin, because, you know, he had to do that
100%.
In a room by himself.
Yeah,
too.
Because he didn't even have green screen to work on. Like, acting to a tennis ball is one thing. Acting to a phone is different. So, but it's just very cool, and I always like that. And, like, you see Marvel with Guardians of the Galaxy. Bradley Cooper, 2-time Oscar nominee, is signed on to do a voice-only role. Vin Diesel, one of the biggest movie stars in the world, signed on to do a voice-only role.
I feel like it was kind of fertile ground to make some picks and some kind of off-the-radar picks. No Gort from The Day the Earth Stood Still. I like him, but not a, I don't know.
The robot from Space Camp?
Sure.
The two robots from Black Hole?
That's what I mean. Like, I think there are a lot that we very easily could have missed, and if we've done so, let us know about it. Send us an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet your thoughts directly at us from your robot phone at moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup.
You can find me at Dave Bisella on Twitter, DaveBisella.com. You can find everything. I have another show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. And go to youmebotht.bandcamp.com. Not SoundCloud, like I said last episode. If you like our theme song, it is written and composed by Jason West and his old band, Champions of All Time. His new band, You and Me Both, released a album yesterday on Bandcamp that you can download and pay for if you want, or get it for free if you want.
But you should pay. We don't ask you to pay for anything for our show, for God's
but
sake.
But that is youmebotht.bandcamp.com. If you search for it on SoundCloud, I apologize, and hopefully you hear this. But, yeah, listen to that, and we'll be back next week. It's going to be one episode a week for a while. The two-episode thing, that might be – we'll still do two occasionally. But for the next...
We'll average 1.5 episodes a week, probably.
Yeah, but for the most part, if you live and die by two episodes...
Convince me.
Above us, yeah, our condolences, because we're doing one for the foreseeable future. But also, if you have any ideas for what we should do, let us know, because we're kind of running dry.
That's not exactly why we're going
no,
to one episode
no,
a week.
It's life's kind of like getting in the way of both of us. But one a week. We're still going to keep doing this. And until next week's one episode.
Keep it up.